Salesport Talk has listeners in 168 countries, so the weather and sun position is different for listeners all around the world when listening to our live broadcast. For example, a powerful coastal storm will slide up the northeastern and New England coastline of the United States over the next couple of days. Heavy snow is likely from the spine of the Appalachians into interior portions of the Northeast and much of New England. Hazardous travel is anticipated in these areas. But in California, it is all about the lighted boat parades, where boating happens all year round and people decorate their boats and enjoy the cheer of the holidays. Pat Brennan brings us the time for the Sailsport Talk Show from Stockton Yacht Club, which is Tuesdays at 9:37 a.m. with a repeat at 3:37 p.m. Stockton, California time. Pat Brennan is a power boater by passion and a California real estate broker by profession. She says you won't want to miss the 38th Annual Lighted Boat Parade in Stockton, California on Saturday, December 7th, because the power boaters really know how to decorate their boats. This parade is a gift to the community from the Stockton Yacht Club, Roger Hahn, and its many registered boaters. The parade will once again be led by the spectacular Port of Stockton fireboat named Sunrise. The Stockton Lighted Boat Parade may be viewed from anywhere on the downtown waterfront, with the best locations being on the North Shore behind Banner Island Ballpark and the Stockton Marina, and the South Shore near the Marina and Waterfront Warehouse and from Weber Point. But lighted boat parades decorate the Pacific Coast, and here are some of the other parades to note. Stockton Delta Reflections Lighted Boat Parade, Oakland Lighted Yacht Parade, Morro Bay Christmas Boat Parade, Port of Los Angeles Christmas Boat Parade, Long Beach Parade of 1,000 Lights, San Diego Parade of Lights, Capital City Yacht Club Lighted Boat Parade, Santa Cruz Harbor Boat Parade, Vallejo Lighted Yacht Parade, Suisun City Lighted Boat Parade. Whatever the time is in your part of the world, you know that even if you are not on the water yourself, at least someone is sailing today. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. On my recent travels through Europe, I visited many countries, and the Mediterranean is a place that sailors are still sailing this weekend. The Royal Malta Yacht Club will be holding its 2019 Sport Boats Class Series, sponsored by the SB20 Malta Association and the Royal Malta Yacht Club. Have a great race this weekend. My sailing friends in Dublin, who choose to remain private off-season, are driving up the mountain for a hike and sent me a hello. And the weather is now 28 degrees Celsius in the British Virgin Islands, with 14 knots of trade winds. Hello, world of sailors still out there on the water. This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk from San Francisco.
All right, thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Tune in app, iHeartRadio app, Stitcher app, Twitch.tv. Try to get to you every which way that we can. Karen Lyle in studio. It is Tuesday at 9:40 Pacific. Little sail sport talk. How are you, Karen?
I am doing just fantastic. Just came over on the water on a boat, actually.
You didn't walk like Jesus?
You know, I find it's better to have a vessel underneath me, I think.
Speaking of someone who knows vessels very well, Will Paxton is in studio, our guest and very accomplished sailor. And I like this, Will. You started as a sail maker. And I don't know what that entails. I just think about somebody in a giant shop with, like, you know, this, conveyor belt of canvas. What is a sail maker and how do you do it?
Oh, well, sail making, is an art that goes all the way back to when the first caveman hung up his jacket and made his canoe blow down the lake. But these days, sail making is very involved in high-tech, aerospace, computers, but it's still a handmade product, so you're still cutting out pieces, you're still joining panels, you're putting camber in sections, you're sewing rings to sails, you're measuring boats, and you're making it happen for all the types of boats.
You get an opportunity to go out there with a lot of your clients' boats or soon-to-be clients' boats out there on the water. What's one of the more recent sails that you've made for a boat that you just thought was awesome to sail in afterwards?
I make sails for, as I say, all creatures, great and small. I make sails for kids sailing in 8-foot prams, all the way up to ocean crossing 70-foot race boats this summer. I sailed with one of my best clients in an all-carbon fiber 42-footer to Hawaii in the Transpac against four sister ships. It was a very, very tight race. It only took about 8 days, and we finished second overall.
I was going to ask you how you did, but you told me. That was fantastic.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had the son of the father of fiberglass boats, and when he first started making them, people were like, you can't make a boat out of fiberglass. What are you, stupid? It's not going to last. And, of course, that took over the industry. When it comes to sailing, obviously, you can experiment with different materials, but is there anything in sailing? You say it's as old as humanity. It's like anything we think of has been invented, or do you still like, no, I've got some new ideas of sails and the technology, and you keep coming out with new ideas, or is it, but pretty much we know what sails are these days?
No, sail making continues to evolve constantly. All the top companies are in competition, just like racers are in competition, trying to find the best solution. Materials are polyester, Kevlar, carbon fiber, and various ways to put them together to get something that's, you know, lightweight and
Kevlar,
fast.
So it's bulletproof sails, huh?
Yeah, no, they used to be really, really thickly made out of Kevlar, but as the materials get better, you try and use less and less material in a more efficient way to make something that's lightweight but still lasts long enough to do the job.
You know, speaking of weight, we met at the Berkeley Yacht Club when you were speaking there at the dinner series for one of their social functions, and you were talking about light winds and sailing in light winds. Can you tell us how you use the weight of people on a race boat when there's a little bit of wave or chop or something and the boat's pitching to go faster?
Oh, sure. Sailing in light air is a trick of not moving at all. So the air keeps flowing across the sails. If the crew moves around the boat a lot, then the sails flap and the airflow does not attach to the surface. Just like when an airplane flies, it has a high pressure and a low pressure that creates lift and drive. And if the sails are flapping, the air doesn't attach and you have no lift. So usually what we do with the crew is you make sure the crew sits down as low as possible in the boat so the boat does not bob around.
I would think it's interesting. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so low in the boat. They're actually inside the hull, inside the cabin, right?
Yeah,
right,
in really light air, if the crew's not needed on the deck, you have them sit forward and leeward down below.
I always think it's interesting, and I guess like anything between theory and practice, and you can read about sailing and people can tell you and train you in sailing, but you have to get out there and see, you know, what it's really like. And like for you at this point, when you see the wind and you see the seas and maybe you see the stars and you can put a finger up and you can kind of tell what's happening, how long did it take you to get there? Like if you think about the first 5 years you sailed, do you think I had it down then or like I didn't know what I was doing back then?
Oh, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I started sailing and learning how to race when I was six or seven in a yacht club training program we call junior program, but it's just like little league for sailors. And we all race against each other as we grew up. And, you know, for me, I was probably 13 or 14 before, you know, really understood, you know, when you get a lift or when you get a header and when you see that dark patch on the water you're supposed to sail to and how you connect all those things together in order to get an advantage at just like a really basic level. But, you know, to this day now, I'm so attuned to looking at the water. Like if I'm watching a TV commercial and there's a puff behind the person talking on the radio, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go left for the shift off that point over there.
Wow.
You just see it automatically.
Wow.
You were in the Richmond Yacht Club junior sailing program. And when you were sailing just recently, you were taking some friends out on the water. What is it like for you when you take new sailors out?
Oh, I like taking new sailors out all the time because, you know, I mean, I race because I enjoy it and it still is magical to me, but it's not something you talk about all the time with the experienced sailors. It's something that we go, you know, do more as a professional focused activity like, you know, team. But when you take somebody new sailing out there and they've never felt the sails fill and the boat tip over and the boat glide through the water and the sound of the bow through the water, then, you know, their eyes light up like, whoa, this is magic, and the boat tips underneath them for the first time and they're not expecting it. I still feel that joy, even though we don't talk about it. So it's really fun to take new people sailing all the time because, you know, then you get to experience that through their eyes again.
Very cool. We're speaking with Will Paxton here on Sports Byline. Rick Tittle and Karen Lyle with you. A couple more questions for Will. You know, I interview a lot of NASCAR drivers, and there's this sort of unwritten rules and do's and don'ts, and if a faux pas is committed, sometimes they can come to blows after the race. when you're racing and sailing, are there also, I mean, we know pass on the right and things like that, but are things like, has someone ever cut in front of you or rammed you and then you're like, I'll see you back on the dock, you idiot? Like, does it ever get that, does it get that heated?
It definitely can get heated. Sailing is a small world, and a lot of times all of us that race full time, we're racing on different boats against each other, with each other, on various weekends and different events, and you know, people's habits are definitely known. You know, if somebody is a dirty player, you look out for them, and you don't give them a pass the next time you see them.
What is your rep? Are you dirty or clean?
I'm clean.
Okay.
You know, before I came on the show with you, Rick, I was a record producer at Fantasy Studios, which is an independent studio that just closed down in Berkeley, but was very, very well known for many years. And I was thinking about the fact that I never listen to music when I'm sailing, because the wind and everything around me is a music of its own. What is it about the music on the water, and I mean the sounds of the birds and the wind and the waves that really captures your interest?
I mean, just from a purist point of view, I mean, you're always trying to gather as much information as possible. You hear everything. You hear what's going on in other boats around you. You hear how the boat's moving through the water. You hear how the winch is turning. You hear how the conversation is going on the boat. If people know what's going to happen or not going to happen next. You know, like sometimes when we're racing offshore, you're sleeping down below. A lot of times the really skilled captain will come on deck in the middle of the sleep because he hears somebody pulling on a line or something beating on the side of the boat that's like out of place and wrong. And you get just really attuned to not only the motion of the boat, but the sounds that the boat makes.
How do you draw the line sometimes between, you want it to be an enjoyable experience, but as you said, it's competition, you have to take it seriously, but you don't want it so serious that it feels like a job and you're miserable. So how do you draw the line between, let's win, let's do a good job, but let's have a good time?
Well, sailing is a social event, and it takes many hands to make a boat work. It's got to be fun. Putting teams together is something I do a lot, and you're looking for chemistry. You want people that want to work together. They want to win. They have fun together before sailing. You have fun together after sailing, and you're on the same page about we want to get better. We want to compete. You know, sometimes you have to suffer together, but mostly you want to be able to laugh together.
So you've also single-handed, and for those who don't do sailing, single-handed doesn't mean one hand, it means one person sailing the boat. Tell us about the difference for you between single-handing and racing with a team.
Well, I mean, single-handing is a challenge when you're racing on a bigger boat that's meant for multiple people to sail, so you've got to be a lot more strategic in what you're doing so you don't paint yourself into a corner of trying to do something too complicated and crash the boat and come to a dead stop because you're all tangled up. I remember doing a sail change on an ocean race by myself, and the boat steered through a wave badly on the autopilot and soaked me, and I turned around to yell at the guy in the back of the boat and realized there was nobody there.
That's the thing, too. What about perilous moments? You talk about, you know, capsizing. What was maybe one or two of your most perilous times?
Well, I could go on for a while about that. I mean, I think one of the most difficult things we ever did is I was on a boat that broke their rudder on the Hawaii race, but you're about 1,000 miles from dry land in any direction, and it's like Apollo 13. You know, mom's not coming to pick you up. And we had to jury rig all kinds of ways to continue to sail the boat. It was the only way to self rescue.
What did you do for a rudder then? You put an oar in the water?
We actually had an emergency rudder, which was insufficient, and that broke. And then we disassembled the boom, which is a strut that supports the bottom of the mainsail, and we rigged that like an oar on the back of the boat with a purchase system. And steer the boat with that.
Genius.
And also you can use the sails for direction changes. In that case, you're going with the winds, right?
Yeah, you're going downwind to Hawaii in that case, but the modern light race boat does not like to track very straight. So we spend a lot of time experimenting how to get home.
So if you were going to give a tip to someone who has a broken rudder, what would you say the first thing to do is?
Sailing is always about having a plan B, and sometimes you need a plan C too, Plan A is to make sure none of your stuff is going to break in the first place.
Well, what about just having, satellite navigation and satellite phones? And did you have any of that? I mean, but the Coast Guard's not going to come get you 1,000 miles.
Yeah, and modern sailing is very well connected. We have all kinds of tracking devices. The races are basically broadcast live. You know, it's like dot racing for people sitting ashore. They know where you are. You have a satellite phone. So if you have to get off a boat, a lot of times it's a ship that has to come get you.
Mm.
You also mentioned that some of the clients that you have who are maybe just a few people on the boat are actually surrounded by a lot of people who support them. And we know this in the sailing business. But can you tell our listeners what it takes off the boat to make something like a race happen?
Right. Well, you know, boats are they're high maintenance vehicles, whether you've got to, you know, take care of the bottom or, you know, do the teak or sand things, or sometimes you need to buy your crew lunch on a weekend you're not racing to come down and fold all the sails and dry the boat and paint things and lubricate winches and calibrate instruments. There's a lot that goes on other than just showing up on the start line.
All right, that is Will Paxton, and you're still with Quantum Sails. People want
right.
to get in touch and find out more. Where do they go on the web?
That's quantumsales.com. We have a worldwide presence, and wherever you are, if you send us an email, we'll put you in touch with someone in your area.
And last question, you said you don't listen to music when you sail, but what about in the car? Yacht Rock, Kenny Loggins, Karen?
I've actually been listening to your show on the game.
Oh, how about that? Very nice. All right, Karen Lyle and our guest Will Paxton, thanks for coming in. Great to meet you, Will.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Karen, we'll see you next week.
We will see you at 9:37 San Francisco time.
For more Sail Sports Talk, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.